Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M. and I am gratefully recovered today in Wyoming. Today is Tuesday, August 16th, and today we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter There is a Solution, and we are reading on page 22, the first two paragraphs. Today's readers are Jody E. and Justin B. The reference number for Monday, August 15th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Meeting is 19,926. And the share ID from this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Meeting, is 19,299. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you for your service, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. I'm Rhonda R., a recovered compulsive eater in Georgia. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Rhonda. And now I will ask Nancy R. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sherry, and good morning, everyone. I'm Nancy R. from New York. I am a compulsive overeater. And the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for allowing me to do this terrific service, and I pass.
Thank you, Nancy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 22, the first paragraph, and we are going to read those two paragraphs, and Jody E. will get us started. Thanks so much, Jody.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in Monterey, California. This is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic, as our behavior patterns vary, but this description should identify him roughly. Why does he behave like this? If hundreds of experiences have shown him that one drink means another debacle with all its attendant suffering and humiliation, why is it he takes that one drink? Why can't he stay on the water wagon? What has become of the common sense and willpower that he still sometimes displays with respect to other matters? Indeed, why? Well, if we are a true alcoholic or compulsive overeater, we have an allergy of the body and a twist of the mind that condemns us to pick up again if we don't find a spiritual solution. That is my understanding. It's certainly an understatement to say that in Overeaters Anonymous, as well as in Alcoholics Anonymous, our behavior patterns vary. That is certainly true. But whether we're anorexic or bulimic or a binge eater, whatever type of eating disorder we have, it seems that we share something in common, and that is that certain ingredients and or foods and or behaviors trigger a phenomenon of craving, as described in the doctor's opinion. We all seem to share that. We react to that differently. Some of us become anorexic, some of us try bulimia, and some of us don't. We seem to have this allergy of the body to certain foods and behaviors that condemn us to pick up again and again and again against our own will. We really don't even know why we do it, why we cannot stay abstinent. Our willpower may be very strong. We may be very accomplished, disciplined people. But when it comes to food, we are strangely insane. That's what this book tells me, and that's what my own experience proves to me. I can get abstinent, perhaps, and stay abstinent for a time on my own, but I will pick up again eventually because I am a true compulsive overeater. And unless I find an entire psychic change by working these 12 steps, I have no mental defense against that first compulsive bite. That is my experience. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Jody E., for getting this started today. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. This is for all vision calls. And this is in order that we might hear from others that want to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on any Vision for You meeting on Friday or Monday, please give me your name and where you're from. Thank you.
Kim O. from Alabama.
Ronnie in Missouri.
Kaya P.
Deb E. Deb E.
Yep, I have Kim, Ronnie, Kaya, Deb E. so far. Okay, why don't we start with this lineup? Go ahead, Kim.
Hi, this is Kim, Kim from Alabama. The reading today is asking the questions that that I ask a lot in my addiction and my compulsive overeating. Why, you know, why do I just pick this up? Why do I eat this? Why do I go through the suffering? Why must I take the first bite, the first drink, have the first thought, that first alcoholic thought? And, you know, what happened to my common sense? These questions and the unmanageability and chaos has been what is leading me to this program, and I'm grateful for that, because I want to live a different way, and I understand that looking at these questions and understanding, surrendering and letting go, recognizing that if I've tried this program and I go for 30 days or less, In my situation, I'm recognizing that it was on self-will for sure, rather than the long-term solution, which is a spiritual change, spiritual connection. It's working the steps, getting a sponsor, and it's showing up every 24 hours or every hour and making outreach calls. My mind is very, very tricky, and I tend to want to think that I can have just one bite of something, but I recognize over and over again have seen that I have an allergy, and that I'm powerless, and that this program is the solution. So I'm grateful to be here, and I'll pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Kim O. Next up is Ronnie, followed by Haya. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Thank you. Good morning, Ronnie, compulsive overeater, grateful to be here and for your service. This is a paragraph, excuse me, that I don't think I understood deeply until I came to Vision. Now, I've read it a lot in a lot of different kinds of 12-step meetings, read it over and over. But when I started listening to vision, I realized that I was powerless over that behavior because I was in my addiction and my addiction was ruling my life, and that I would go and buy stuff and half of me was excited and the other half was angry. I was angry that I was doing what I didn't want to do. And this paragraph suggests that I say to myself, why? Why am I doing what I don't want to do? And so after a while, even though I was still doing it and enjoying the addiction part, I hated what was happening to me. And that's not too strong of a word, because that's how I felt. And then I would get a day, one day, under my belt, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. I must have been crazy to think I can't have this stuff. Oh my gosh. You know, and so like that step two stuff kicked in, my insanity. And so then I would do it again, and then I'd be sick. Sick physically because of how much I put into me. Sick spiritually for sure because I did not seek a higher power. I did not do that. And then, of course, sick emotionally. So today, if I find myself in any situation where I'm thinking I want to binge or whatever it happens to be, I can ask myself, and this is a good thing today, why? And my sponsor will say that. What was going on? Almost for me, like, what is it I'm trying to suppress? What is it I don't want to deal with? What's happening in my life that I want to, you know, I could be feeling good, but I'm an addict. Oh, I feel good. Have half a gallon of ice cream, you will feel great. So my disease tells me a whole lot of crap. And there's a wonderful song that's on one of the stations I listen to, and the title is Fear is a Liar. This disease is a liar. It tries to pull me in and lasso me and take me down like an undertow. So anyway, I'm very grateful to say I really don't have to do that today. And if I should find myself in a position where I'm pondering that, I can absolutely use tools to get out of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Ronnie. All right. Haya's up next, followed by Deb E., and then I'll take another lineup. Go ahead, Haya. Star one, Haya, we're not hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, perfect. Go
All
ahead.
Right. Hi. Hi, everybody. This is Haya P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. I live in Colorado, calling you from sunny California. And welcome to anyone who's new here. There really are miracles happening in Overeaters Anonymous. I really like this paragraph, and I was thinking two things. One is, it's so helpful to understand, to get a sense of, like, the puzzlement. Why? Why do I keep doing this? I keep saying I'm going to, you know, I want to do this. Why can't I? Why do I keep picking up? Why? And so to understand that we have a physical allergy and a mental twist, a mental obsession that makes us forget the consequences and also makes us still, you know, want, you know, that physical allergy makes that craving continue. The mental obsession makes my mind continue to think about it. Once I pick up, then I'm, you know, then the physical craving takes over, and it's just like dancing with a grizzly bear. The grizzly bear decides when you're going to stop. But I think more important than why is what. What am I going to do now? What is the remedy for this? What do I do? Life is about, at least for me on these 55 years on the planet, is about what am I going to do now? Where am I going to go from here? You know, I can't help whether I have this or not. I can't help a lot of the circumstances. You can't decide when you're born, can't decide the family you're born into, can't decide your socioeconomic status when you're born, color of your skin. You can't decide any of those things. Those are what we come into the world with. But what am I going to do? And we have a remedy here. It's called 12 steps. As I've written in the book, there's a way of working the program that's written in the book so that it can be duplicated over and over and over again. so that it can be passed on. That was the whole reason why this book was written, so that the process that these guys went through, they wrote it down so that they could disseminate it all over the world. And thank God it is disseminated all over the world. And what a beautiful thing that we have, you know, the internet now to bring us from all corners of the world together so that we can share in the common solution and support those that are living in the problem. And for that, I'm grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Haya. Debbie is up next, and then I'll take a new lineup. Go ahead, Debbie.
Hi, thanks. This is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And all this, like, hearing why is making me think of, like, when little children ask why, and then they keep asking why. And from my experience with my kids, like, I'd run out of answers. You know, I could explain a few away, and then you get to, like, you know, the fourth or fifth why. And oftentimes there aren't answers. And I feel like whys I ask, like, why am I a compulsive overeater? Why was this my path? Why could I not stop binging? Why, you know, was I triggered by sugar and not other foods? Why? Like, there's all these whys are all the questions that I can't answer on my own, and I can only really answer with a spiritual solution. And then even with that, like, I can't give an actual concrete answer, but I feel like that's how this program works. It's like we enter the world of the spirit, and then there are answers, but they're not concrete answers. And I don't know if this is going to be just too vague because I'm going off on a tangent, but it's just making me think of how, like, I can't tell you exactly the moment it switched for me and food became, like, it wasn't an issue anymore. I became neutral around food, and where all of a sudden it made so much sense to turn my life over to a higher power. And all of a sudden, like, there are all these little moments that, like, I can't explain why or how they happened. And that's because they're spiritual changes. And I feel like it's all the main part of this program that is the spirituality is the stuff I can't rationally explain to anyone. There are no concrete answers. And that's what all this, like, why made me think of today. And, you know, I couldn't explain the same way, like, I couldn't explain why I turned to the food other than, like, because I'm a compulsive overeater. I also can't explain why, or maybe it's more of a how, you know, or why, you know, why did I choose to work this program? Why me? Why? You know, I feel like those are all things kind of beyond my control, but that got taken into control by my higher power, if that makes any sense to anyone. Thanks, I pass with that.
It makes sense to me. Okay, before I take any more names, I'd like to remind, or let anybody know, I should say, who's just joining us, that today we're reading from the Big Book, page 22, and there is a solution. And we have unpacked the first two paragraphs, starting with this is by no means. And if you haven't shared on Friday or Monday on any of our vision meetings, I'd love to take your name now so that you can share.
Patty O.
Kathleen W.
Jen Z.
Carrie G.
Okay, so I have Patty O, Kathleen W, Jen Z, and then was that a Carrie after that?
Yes.
Kelly.
Oh. Carrie, and then who was the next one?
Kelly H.
Kelly H. Thank you. So I have Patty O, Kathleen W, Jen Z, Carrie, Kelly H, and the Darcy. Is this correct?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
This is Robin W. from California.
Great. I'll put your name down, Robin. Thank you so much. So we're going to start with this lineup, and we're going to start with Patty O. Go ahead, Patty.
Hi, everybody. My name is Patty O. I live in Florida. And I just wanted to, actually, I don't want to do this at all. I don't want to talk to people I don't know who I can't see, but I'm doing it anyway, which is a good part of my day is consumed with things that I don't really understand how they're going to help me. But I'm so desperate to not eat addictively today. I don't want to eat like a compulsive overeater today. And so for today, I am willing to do what I don't want to do. And when I read the paragraphs, those two paragraphs, it's that I can't comprehend why, knowing the consequences of what's going to happen, when I take that first bite, I still take that first bite. And for the first part of my life, I ate in ignorance. I had no idea that I was a compulsive overeater. But today, and for a long time now, I know what is going to happen when I take that first bite, and I do it anyway. So it's incomprehensible to me. I know when I listen to these phone calls, I know that I'm not alone, and that is a comfort to me, that there are other people, and they offer me hope, people who are recovered and recovering and have some neutrality. That offers me hope. And so I'm about 45 days abstinent. I don't like phone calls. I don't like sharing at meetings, all this stuff. But I know that for 45 days, I haven't found it necessary to take an addictive bite. And so here I am, doing things that I don't want to do, with the hope that someday I'll be very comfortable doing them. Thank you for listening to me. This is Patty from Florida.
Thanks, Patty, for sharing. Next up is Kathleen W., followed by Jen Z. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Hello, this is Kathleen W. Good morning. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God and through this fellowship. I'm just claiming my seat today mostly because I haven't done that in a while, and I want to feel a part of. I need to feel connected in order to feel sanity, connected to my fellows. So that's one reason why I'm speaking up today. But I like this reading because, and about the why does he behave like this, I did not ask myself why I behaved the way I behaved around food. I didn't have a clue. I did not even think about, even though I was recovered in another program and I had a psychic change in that program, and it happened very quickly in this program, it's taken years for that psychic change to grow. You know, it's been a growing understanding or enlightenment, you know, about my disease. I too, like the person previously, my question was never why, but when I would act out in my disease and find out, oh, I ate this entire coffee cake and this coffee cake belongs to somebody else, and what am I going to do about that? It was not ever why, it was always what. What can I do? And so for many years, I tried different things to do with no success, really. Well, I did have success. I was able to stay thin for quite a long time with restricting and compulsive overeating and bulimic exercise. I was able to do that, but as I got older, the disease became stronger. And I didn't have the strength to counter it anymore, and that's why I needed the fellowship. So it was what asking God what to do when I saw that I wasn't going to be able to control the food anymore like I used to. What should I do? Not why. Why is this happening? And I was led to OA, you know, very strongly led to OA. And I didn't want to do it. You know, I didn't want to come. It was a long time that my higher power was guiding, you know, kind of tugging my string, saying, you know, go ahead, that's what you need. I didn't want to. I didn't like the fellowship. It wasn't like the other fellowship. took me a long time to put away the judging and things like that. And the thing about the common sense, you know, what has become of the common sense and willpower? Well, you know, in my disease, I did not care if I ate enough, ate so much that it hurt me, you know. And I never wondered why do I do that? You know, I never wondered that. I always thought, well, I'm just not going to, what am I going to do? I'm not going to do that again. So I wasn't introspective in that way. And of course, then I did it again. But the common sense, you know, is total insanity. It's just like, you know, people who have a problem, you know, with cutting themselves. I did not care if I hurt from this, the food that I ate. And so I had a total departure. So it really took a psychic change. And by God's grace, I did find that psychic change. And have I completely, you know, is the psychic change complete in my experience? No. Oh, with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Hey, Kathleen, thanks so much. Where are you from?
Oh, Illinois.
Illinois, great. So people can find you on the phone list. Wonderful. All right, Jen Z is up next, followed by Carrie. Go ahead, Jen.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, great. My name is Jen. I'm Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia, and I am from East Los Angeles, California. And I just wanted to put something in. This paragraph made me think about, which was, I was doing some writing last night, and I remember people telling me that they were grateful for their disease because it brought them to the 12 steps and the 12-step way of life and, you know, God and the program and all that stuff. And I was like, wow, you know, to be grateful for the disease, for the allergy of the body and mind, and with allergy of the body and the condition of the mind and the spiritual deficit, you know, to be grateful for that, because it puts me in a position where I am willing to do what I need to do to work the steps to get out of what I'm in with the compulsive eating. And it's quite a concept for me, at least. And I just wanted to share that because that's what made me think of this paragraph when it was being read. And so with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Jen. Next up is Carrie.
Hi, this is Carrie G, recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic in Colorado. And so grateful to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. The questions here remind me that I was taught that asking is a form of prayer. And so the book is asking us to pause and really the why. It doesn't end up mattering why I have this double whammy. I have the blank spot in my mind, the mental obsession, and when I put something in my body, I'm going to have the physical allergy is going to be triggered. But I like the idea of pausing and asking. So it's a form of prayer. I can connect to God and ask for God's direction. I can seek God's will and then knock, and the doors will be open. It's the ASK. I like that. Ask and seek and knock. And then also I like the idea of supplanting the word think anywhere I see this word drink. So why is it I take that first think? You know, thinking means another debacle with all its attendant suffering and humiliation. I have a mental obsession and my thinking is off, you know, and we don't lack intelligence. We have a mental twist. We have an illness. And I like the idea of thinking of, it's like Swiss cheese in my brain. I have these holes. And so these gaps, you know, gaps in my thinking. And so I need direction from my higher power. I need to pause in my day and ask for the strength and the direction to do the next right thing. And, you know, and thank you, God, I have staked a new abstinence date. So I have 6 days of abstinence, and I can be, you know, entirely honest and say that this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful.
but I got myself to a face-to-face meeting yesterday. I have an appointment with my dietitian I get to see today, so I have a face-to-face relationship with my dietitian. Thank you to, you know, former sponsors that have paved the way to that relationship, and I just show up one day at a time, and I do the best I can. So I'm powerless to this disease, and if you're suffering in this disease, just keep coming back one day at a time. Thanks to A Vision for You. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Carrie G, and congrats on the 6 days. Kelly H is up next, followed by Darcy and then Robin. Go ahead, Kelly.
Good morning. This is Kelly H from North Carolina. I hope I can be heard.
Perfect.
I am so grateful for this paragraph. I started program December 21st, 2020. Had a really good run for about a year and maybe 3 months. And then it was like, I don't know, I forgot. Step one, step two, step three. And the wheels came off. And every day since, I have been crazy. And I don't know how that happened. But just, I am a compulsive overeater. Everyone's shares here have been just the ringing of truth that I have needed to have. And just thinking on this paragraph and writing a little bit as people are sharing, I am cherry picking how to run my program, and that does not help. My ability to run my recovery like a traffic cop at a major city intersection during an electrical outage and the whole metropolitan grid is off. I've been trying to run my noisy life and my recovery like a traffic cop in the middle of this intersection. And it's ridiculous. I envision that I am the agent of order, ushering through, kids going back to school and crazy stuff in my neighborhood and health issues with my family, et cetera, et cetera. I've been trying to say, okay, slow down. All right, this issue now has free will to come. All right, it's time for it to stop. All right, I'm going to go to the food. And all of that is making life really noisy and disorderly for me. I have no power. I'm really not the traffic cop. I'm really jaywalking. And I'm an agent of chaos, not orderliness, when I am not in my program. Life in my higher power, life in the spirit, it means that God is getting, I basically wrote that life living according to how God wants me to live means getting out of the freaking street of that busy intersection. God will direct me how to proceed when life is noisy. And I really see that. It's like God is telling me, get out of this crazy intersection, you crazy lady. Get back onto the sidewalk. I will direct you through this, but you must wait for me while I direct all that is going on in this life right now. It's not you, it's me. So get back. So I am grateful for the authority that I have in my life and the incredible shares I've heard this morning. Thank you for your service. And I'm hoping today is day one once again. With that, I'll pass.
Hey, thanks so much, Kelly. Next up, we have Darcy and then followed by Robin. Go ahead, Darcy.
This is Darcy M. from Nebraska. Probably what I have to say has already been said, but I need to say it so I can put it into my memory banks, I guess. I'd like to know why. I ask myself those questions all the time. Why do I take that first bite? Or why do I take that, why do I have to have those questions? But it is because I wanted to have those feelings. But those feelings of the whammy, double whammy, and the twist, they don't fulfill anymore. They don't give me that that high that I was looking for anymore. And that's and they have not been doing it. And I've been trying to get abstinent and stay abstinent now. And I do well until I get late in the day, and then it's like, it's almost like there's too many hours in the daylight set before it turns night when I start having more problems. And I'm trying to gather up phone numbers of people who on the West Coast, especially that I could call in the evening when I have more trouble. And it doesn't make sense to keep taking that extra bite. It doesn't make sense. And I know that, and I keep, and so I'm not making any sense here, but I was meant to see this, to read this, and to also share on this. And because it was something I had to see, read, and hear for my own self. Cool. And I'm hoping that I'm making sense to someone else, because I'm not making a whole lot of sense to myself, but I'm hoping to make it to someone else. And with that, I think I'll pass. And I'm going to say thank you to everyone that's here today and allowing me to share. And I will pass. And I thank you for your service.
Thanks, Darcy, so much. And Robin W. is up next. Go ahead, Robin.
Oh, hi. I just want to say I'm Robin from California. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm a 100-pounder. And I do want to say there's so many here, good chairs, and I feel like I'm at home. And as I'm listening to all this, I'm like looking at my body, and I'm saying, well, how fat am I and stuff? And I have a mental obsession with my body and the food and the calories and everything. And, you know, it's been tough because I keep on, I think if I binge on healthy food, then that's better than the other stuff I used to eat. But I'm still eating compulsively, especially in the evening. It's been hard for me and to have like a food plan and writing it down. And because I feel like if I don't write it down, then I can eat whenever I want to. And someone else was talking about anger. And I'm telling you that I have so much anger and so much anxiety that it's hard for me to stay present, you know. And, you know, someone's going to visit me, and last night I started having an anxiety attack. I feel like I don't want anybody to be around me. I want it to be quiet. I can't handle too much. And, it's very painful. And I feel like, well, how am I going to be with other people? And today's my friend's birthday, and we're going to go out, and I have anxiety when I'm going to eat for lunch. it's hard. And, I did have a gastric bypass about 20 years ago, and I was a little over 300 pounds. So, it's been tough and for me, and but I appreciate everybody's share, and I want to thank you. And I don't know, I guess you don't leave phone numbers right now, but thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Robin. And we have time for one more share today.
Bonia?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, you guys. I'm feeling very joyful today. And it's the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And basically what's happened is that I was overeating fruit, and then my sponsor told me that it was because I was restricting my carbs in, and I needed to incorporate those and I would get my nutrition back. And so I've incorporated carbs in my diet. I went to see a nutritionist, which I was resisting for a long time, probably part of my disease. And I've incorporated them back in. And now the obsession with food has been absolutely lifted. Like, I don't think about food anymore. I don't even care when I have hunger pangs like I used to. Like, before it was like the end of the world if I had hunger pangs. But now I don't. And it's just like miraculous. And I just feel so happy and free. Like, I'm just so excited about this. I had recovery, but this is like another level. So I'm very grateful. And I hope you guys all have a blessed, amazing day. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much. We have time for one more 2-minute share. Anybody want to grab that spot?
Kate B?
Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Kate B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota, and I am just very grateful for everyone's shares today and the honesty. And thank you for the service of those that are doing this meeting. I'm just really grateful today as well. I have tried to ask myself the whys and, why can't I put this down? Why can't I stop? All those whys that I never knew the answer to until I came to this program and understood the 12 steps and the allergy and the obsession. And I cannot ever extend my sincere gratitude enough for that knowledge of this disease and the solution, the hope that I have every day, the spiritual experience that I experience. And I am just ever so grateful for A Vision for You, for all the fellows in this and outside of this. And I just wanted to say that there is hope here. There is a solution. There is a life worth living here. For all those that are struggling, it is worth it. The work that this program is worth it. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thanks so much. Great way to close this out. It is definitely worth it. And now we will close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning, Sherry. Dana P. here. Thank you for your service. What a wonderful meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning prayer what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and surely you will meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.